Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. So many ways to take us in. You just have to choose one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that you have. That's it. I'm just grateful. Thank you all for hanging out with us each and every morning. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still to come, Will Hill will join us, Todd Whalen, Dallin Cuff, on the World Cup. Dallin was doing golf yesterday?
Dallin was, yes, on the longest day of golf for the U.S. Open qualifiers around the country.
Qualies.
I don't even know where he was at. I got a picture sent to me from Matt Brown.
Okay.
Like, oh, Dallin out there, okay.
He has, and we're told he has a bajillion World Cup bets.
I love it.
Yeah.
My list of things to do today, Gil, is pretty sad, but I made sure to carve out time to narrow down and finalize the World Cup futures.
Yeah, I got to make some bets, too.
Which I already know, like I'm excited to do, but I'm also terrified of how many I'm going to have, because, yeah.
Two games tomorrow. Looking forward to it. We call them games or matches? What are we doing?
Matches.
Okay. On the pitch.
On the pitch.
Get ready for that. Patrick Kelly on Twitter. Why not really flummox people? Talking to Nick Whalen here. Irritate Drew and go with Whalen Capper. Okay, I'm done, he says.
I like it.
Doug Tuttle.
I actually love it.
Doug Tuttle took a 40-1 flyer on the A's race to 10 wins. Rideco 99, are you going to a wedding? Old Edward Inn? The Highlands are beautiful. My daughter got engaged up there 2 weeks ago. Enjoy the peace and beauty of the lower Appalachians. I will. Thank you, Rideco. Willie B. Benton. Gil, are you a Spotify guy or an Apple Music guy? I'm curating a playlist for your Tar Heel State trip and need to know which app to use. I promise not to make it entirely James Taylor, but I do promise to make it awesome. Man, you're the best. I appreciate that. What do you know about Carolina on my mind, Kelly?
No, I know about it.
James Taylor always says, for all your songs, what's your favorite? He says, I keep coming back to Carolina on my mind. Ray in Texas. Can you ask Dr. Bob, the Bear, Sophisticated Drew, Tennis Boy Todd, or that math guy on Fridays, if it's a bad strategy to bet the Spurs on the money line every game the rest of the series, just in hopes to see New York City just crumble after leading 2-0. I want to, he says. Can we just say this also? We haven't brought this up. For the crime of wearing a Spurs jersey walking back out of MSG the other night. You see all that violence?
Oh, God. That was bad.
Listen, you bunch of aimless incels. Get a life. Unbelievable. Shameful. I hope the Knicks lose just because of that.
Fans, man. It gets bad.
When did we become a country of hooligans? When did that happen? Las Vegas 514. I was about to say you're better than that, but no, you're not. Las Vegas 514. Yo. Tell young Kelly that there actually was someone as early as 1876, the founding of the National League, that brought standardized official regulations to statistics. That's two statistics. I'm with him. Who cares about anything before Prohibition? Well, you know, if only we had someone who could rule on this. Paul Sporer joins us now from Austin, Texas. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R, writes for Fangraphs. Sleeper in the Bus is the name of his podcast. And, of course, Paul, also the content designer for Out of the Park Baseball. He joins us now. Paul, what is the date that annoys you? When people go back to baseball stats, what's your go-to date?
Oh, where do I want to stop?
In other words, since... Blank.
I mean, generally, I want to go like integration to like talk about quality of players. I want to go there. But if we're going to go history, I'd like to be like 1901, because that's when you start to get splits. You can see, you know, verse right and verse left. The 1800s stats are a little wonky. I still make players for those. I still make cards for those players in out of the park and everything. And it's still a rich history. But we just don't have as much. So for me, I like to kind of be 1901 or later, just because the data is just way better, simply put.
Kelly's a Prohibition guy. He didn't go past Prohibition.
Hey, Paul, I'm just wondering who's
honestly
double checking.
That's fine.
Who's double checking these stats in 1903, you know?
Well, I mean, they're pretty well regarded through. I mean, they're checked throughout history and reinforced. I think some of the ones we had to kind of go back and get is when they added the Negro Leagues in. And obviously that they don't have as much record keeping, unfortunately, but that's because they were pushed off to the side in the Negro Leagues in the first place. But I wish we had more record keeping there, because obviously some of the greatest players ever. But no, I kind of hear you, post dead ball is when it really kicks in. You know, 1920s, things definitely get better. But 1901 for me is good, because again, they have splits data. They got pretty detailed data. They're still marked on places on baseball reference where the data is insufficient or maybe not 100% perfect. So I hear you. It's not all tip top. This is everything that perfectly happened in, you know, 100, 125 years ago. But we have a lot of it, and it is well founded because it's been being collected over the years. And by the way, Gil, on that tweet that you got, you didn't answer them if it's Apple or Spotify for the playlist.
Oh, thank you so much. Apple. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for cleaning that up. That's very nice of him.
No problem.
I'm just amused that Kelly just picks a non-baseball thing like Prohibition. Like, he could have just
as easily. I like that Prohibition is his.
It's
not
funny
not one of the eras of baseball, not like a dead ball era.
That's right.
Or the live ball or integration or the wild card era, you know, divisional era. Nothing. It's Prohibition.
I wanted things like cars and telephones and everything to be around, you know. I thought that made a little bit more sense.
He's like, I don't nothing since Brown versus the Board of Education. Like, he just randomly
The crazy thing is like, as different as the game is now, I think I mentioned this to you guys before, like, you can still find the player types all the way back. Like, there were sluggers back then. Mm-hmm. Again, they hit 7 home runs to lead the league, but they were far and away the best sluggers. You know, you can find guys that took a ton of walks, guys that struck out too much. Now, striking out too much back then was like 50 in a year, and you need to be strung up in the town square. Now we get that in a month from guys. But even as you go back further and further, the same player types exist in a lot of cases.
You know what gets me through long flights, or at least cuts off an hour and a half of them? Immaculate Grid. You must be a great Immaculate Grid player.
I feel like I'm a pretty good player, yes. Yeah, this job, the OTP job, helps a lot. I'll pull some stuff up that people will say you definitely cheated. And I said, I did not. I just know this stuff. Now, if you want me to remember an appointment and, you know, text you on your birthday, I got none of that for you. But if you want me to know who Claude Ritchie is, an 1800 second baseman, I'm your guy.
He's your guy. All right. We just did a segment about current adjusted season win totals that exist in betting markets right now. Juxtaposed against the FanGraphs projections at this current moment, where these clubs will end up. 29 out of the 30 baseball teams, the Athletics didn't have an adjusted season win total for some reason when I looked at it. And these are the biggest gaps between those two categories. The biggest differences between the adjusted season win total and the FanGraphs projections exist with these 7 clubs. At a glance, which is the one that you can get behind the most? Which is the one that you look at and you're like, ooh, I don't know about that?
Which one am I getting behind the most from putting a bet down on the FanDuel total?
On the in other words, which of the FanGraphs projections, in other words, the FanGraphs projections should lead to a bet. Which of the FanGraphs projections are the ones that you're like, yeah, I don't buy into that, or I do buy into it the most?
I mean, I would say the Braves are not, I don't think they're a 100 win team. I know they've played well, they have a bunch of banked wins, but I would definitely agree with the lower adjustment, especially as Philly plays better. They still have their issues on offense, but they're playing better. I know the Mets have not come around. I'm done saying that. You know, we spent the first month saying how the Mets and the Red Sox, you know, those are probably the two biggest disappointments in each league. We keep saying they were going to come around. I'm off that. But Philly, I think, has come around. They're strong. I think Washington is pretty froggy. They're 2 games over. And even Marlins give you a game there. So even as the Mets fell off and cleared the path for the Braves, I think those other 3 teams will make sure that – I just don't think they're a 100-win team. I just don't think that pitching through the course of the 6 months is a 100-win team. The offense is electric, and they might add reinforcements. But until they do that, I would look at that 96. That's a good number. Now, it's only, you know, 3.5 wins there. But that'd be enough for me to get down on the Braves.
I agree with you.
As an under.
What about the one that you look at there and you're like, ooh, I don't get that FanGraphs projections as much.
Boy, I don't know. None of these. I mean, I'm not trying to be like, you know, just a.
I'll tell you the one that it was for me. I was surprised. And by the way, the under on the Brewers at 95.5 was juice. So it does sort of lend to the FanGraph number. But I was a little surprised the Brewers were 3.5 wins projected lower on FanGraphs.
I would think that would be the division as well, and the strength of that division, and how at times this year we've had every team over 500 in that division. Right now, the Reds are a couple games under. And so I do think that a routinely bottom feeding division is now a bit of a strength. Like, again, you're getting a game every time. I know the schedule is balanced more these days than it has been in the past. You don't play quite as many in your division, but you still play more. And that is not an easy division to just run through. So I can see how they get there with the Brewers. The one I'm like hemming and hawing on is the Padres too, because I still look at their top level talent and I really want to like it. But then when you dig in, it is hard to get them to too far past 500. I think I would still, I don't know. I'm gonna hit the eject button on that one. The more I think about it, I'm sorry, because the Padres, they scare me. They're tough. But as far as your Brewers call there, I see why they get there with the 92, okay, because that division is no joke. And I think there'll be teams adding reinforcements too. I don't think the Cardinals came into the year as a team that you would have thought were going to strengthen themselves at the deadline. I don't think they're going to push all their chips in, but I think they're going to try to improve themselves. The Pirates are fulfilling some promise that they had coming into the year. And of course, the Cubs are supposed to be a lot better than that. They've been ravaged by injury, but they're going to go and get reinforcements too. So I think that less about the Brewers and more about their competition.
Let me ask you about a market now that is adjusted with the absence of Aaron Judge now for a prolonged period of time. Who do you bet here in AL MVP, Paul?
I would try to get cute with it, I think, as I am wont to do. I like it like a Nick Kurtz or even like a Shea Langeliers. Now that Judge has cleared the path, can a catcher win that MVP? No, Kurtz more so. He's just unbelievable. You know, I was a little bit nervous about him in fantasy this year. He was going as a second round pick off of his season last year. I'm like, that's a lot off of 1 year and not even a full year. Maybe I don't want to jump in there. And so I didn't really pick him in the second round. And he got off to a tough start. And I didn't go out tweeting like, this is why I told you not to take him or anything. But in my mind, I did start to think that. I'm not going to lie. I was taking some mental victory laps like, yeah, this is what I was nervous about. And he's been electric again. And when they put him in a minor league stadium all the time, as they do both in Sacramento and now this week in Vegas, you see how he can get there. And they're an interesting team, too. If they could rise up, not that we believe that the playoffs should matter, but some voters do. I think Kurtz is an interesting bet.
Not just cute, an adorable play on Nick Kurtz. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that the World Cup starts tomorrow. Splash Sports offering a $1 million guarantee in a high-stakes survivor contest, $1,000 to enter, $1 million on the line. You can only use the team once. Pick wisely from the group stage all the way through the knockout rounds, outlast everyone else, and bango, the $1 million is yours. I went bango there, by the way.
Bango!
Right now, new players using promo code VSiN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, pardon me. A free Quick Picks entry up to $20. A 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Tomorrow. Do not wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSIN. Must be 21 and over. Available in select states only. Whew. Getting excited for this.
Oh, I'm pumped.
Yeah, man.
I'm pumped.
Kelly and I each making our entries the other day here on the Survivor segment that we did. Now to try to finagle how we actually get in.
Well, we got to figure out some logistics, but I think we can say, Gil, you and I will be involved in this.
We will be.
Come get it, folks. Come get it. You better watch out. You're running into some real soccer sharps here.
That's right. We're the two to beat.
Man, yeah, you better watch out.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm not sure if you're aware of that either.
No.
Jamie Samuel. Gil, I'm on a small island in Spain, Formentera. I'm listening to your show as always. Thank you, Jamie Samuel, or is it Jaime Samuel? He says, Carolina on my mind was written by James Taylor when he missed a ferry to Ibiza, or that's Ibiza, and was stuck in the port here. World Cup is going to get kind of wild here. Scrabble star, Gil, nitpicking here, but it's Carolina in my mind. You know, I thought about that when I was saying it. He's gone to Carolina in his mind. I said that when I said on my mind. I was like, is that right?
Get it together, Alexander.
Thank you, Scrabble Star. Scrabble Star is always there to correct me on it. He's correct. And as an aside for Kelly, did he ever indulge in greyhound or horse racing while in Florida? Seems he may have enjoyed that, as I did living there 35 years.
You know what? It's a great question. So I actually played a lot of poker, many, 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 many hours at the Palm Beach Kennel Club over the years. Dog racing always just kind of made me sad. Did I bet on it? Yes, I've bet on it. But like It was not something that I actively partook in, but they horse racing. I love horse racing. I don't know. Those dogs are, they're just not treated great, man. It's hard to watch.
Sky high.
Great poker room, though.
Sky high, a better brewer. Totally agree with Kelly and needing verified stats for historical sports records. That's why I maintain being dubious about a certain 100-point game in the 60s. Oh, he doesn't think Wilt had 100.
Wow.
Hey, man, he had it on a sheet of paper. He said 100. you don't believe that happened? Hershey, Pennsylvania, there is no documented footage of this.
I just think it's overall just kind of comedic. Like, it's just nothing like serious about it. Yeah. But when we go serious, it's just anytime you and I laugh when we hear about the trends of like a college football team going back 5 years, and you're like, none of those players were on that team 5 years
ago.
Well,
that stuff's
like,
just stupid.
Right. It's just kind of funny when we start throwing these years like to compare stats, and you're like, it's a completely different game. Like, the glove has changed. The bat has. Everything has changed.
Is a sky high. You don't believe in the 100-point game for Wilt. Do you also not believe in the moon landing? Are you one of those guys as well? Oh, let me not open that.
Yeah, be careful there.
Oh, what have I done?
The rest of the show will be tweets about that.
What have I done? Ready to go country clubbing?
Yeah, let's hit the club.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's Gil this weekend. Watch out, North Carolina.
Chris got two going.
I could get my guy a mocktail ready just like these guys. Wow. Go. Party at the Highlands. Wow, yeah, really? Seriously.
Party at the Highlands.
We got extra help today. We got Joe helping out on audio, so we got extra.
You're excited to go to the Highlands.
Hey, Darnell, how many of those do you have? More people here, there are more glow sticks that show up.
Where did the glow sticks come from originally?
Darnell.
No, I know from Darnell, but where did he get them?
I don't know. I'm going to guess some party supply or DJ store or something like that.
What'd you say, Chris?
Chris, you're always whispering. You're always doing your fadeaway.
What'd you say, Chris? Chris said he got it for Pride Month. Maybe he did. I don't know.
God, Chris.
Chris does do the fadeaway on the he does the button. He goes
fadeaway. He's our audio guy, and he does a fadeaway jumper whenever he talks to us into a mic. This is how he starts. He goes, "Hey, Gil Kelly," and then he says whatever statement all the way back here. It's like, that doesn't work.
Chris is killing Darnell the last couple of days. Chris also said, Chris is, every day he comes in there, he says, Darnell looks like somebody else. It's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's becoming a thing.
Oh, man, the behind the scenes here. Hilarity. All right, it's the RBC, by the way, Serena won first doubles match with Victoria and Boko. She's in the quarterfinals of that, so there you go, Serena. She's going to work her way up. She's going to play some singles here. No grass court tennis for me this week. I am running the numbers. I am sort of juxtaposing it against the results.
I did juxtapose.
I think that's twice now I've juxtaposed. Maybe next week we shall see with the grass court tennis. Wimbledon, it's just a 5-week grass court season. That's all it is. The RBC Canadian is this week. The U.S. Open is next week at Shinnecock Hills. I will always start this by asking you what I have asked you innumerable times.
Yes.
With tournaments just prior to majors, which is, do you bet this the same heft, if you will?
Okay, so I actually love when you ask this question, because I don't think it's not a consistent answer before every major. I know that's why you're bringing it up week before a major. Why it is for this one is because the Canadian Open is a rotation, and we are at a golf course that we saw last year for the very first time. As you know, as you do with tennis, I do with golf. It is very much data-driven. We need as much data coming out of golf courses and tournaments being played there as possible to sharpen up how confident we are with making bets. So only second time that we're going to see this is at TPC Toronto and Osprey Valley, the North course. I guess there's a South course there too, Gil. 145 players, top 65, and ties make the cut. This is a long par 70 course. Wide fairways. Bring that up. Wide fairways, big greens. Bring that up because we've dealt with a couple tournaments here recently where it's been the exact opposite. Very tight fairways, very small greens. You're not really going to have to worry too much about water. Yes, the rough is something serious, but 40-yard fairways, like Gil Alexander's finding fairways out on every one of these tee boxes.
You haven't seen me play.
48 bunkers, which will come into play. There's some interesting around the green challenges here at this golf course, but the greens are so big, Gil. Like if you're battling around the green, like you're out of this already.
Dude, the fairway. Let's go back to that. The fairway width is 39 yards.
Yeah, average fairway width 39 yards. And most of these guys' landing zones, like these guys that drive at 310, 315, it's even wider than that.
Wow.
So yeah, you had going back to last year, will he have a year's worth of data to go off of? So to answer your original question, this is dial. This was a birdie fest last year. One of the things I usually do with birdie fest anyways is kind of, okay, this is a week. Let's pick a few outrights. Hope you get lucky, because there can be so much variance on that leaderboard at the end, right? Top 20s, top 10s, I think become a little bit more difficult to really sink heavy money into.
But players who are in this are playing it to win it. You don't actually, as you observe these tournaments, you don't see any evidence of someone on a Friday second, you know, his back nine just sort of tanking it, like, maybe I'll just go home.
No.
Yeah.
I don't really think that. I think that's something
we just concoct in our brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, however.
Yes.
However.
Yeah.
Do I think there's a contingent of players that feel an obligation to play in this event because of countries that they hail from, and then are, you know, yeah, like there's a lot of Brits that play in this, and okay, it's because it's in Canada and the connection there. Now, are you telling, like, could that be a thing with a Matt Fitzpatrick or a Tommy Fleetwood on a Friday? I think we'd see we've heard of crazier things, you know, if that, just to get ready for the U.S. Open then the following week. It's a big time major, big
just
time.
Just trying
change
to cover it all.
Yeah, it's worth asking. I'm not much of a believer ever in that, Gil, and I don't want to say I believe in that here either, but I do think this could be a possible better spot for that to happen than most times we ask that question. Top of the odds board, Fleetwood is your short shot in most places, a little under 12-1 at DraftKings. Matt Fitzpatrick right at 12-1. Sam Burns just north of 12-1. Then we drop down to Wyndham Clark, Colin Morikawa, Robert McIntyre, and Chris Rayton in that 23-25 range. And then Rose, Koepka, Nikolai Højgaard round out everybody who is 30-1 or shorter. Morikawa, just be careful with. I might end up having a bet on him. This is where we talk about golf reporting and some like tennis reporting and stuff where it's not all standardized, right? There is, Morikawa's been dealing with, dealt with injuries. And then there are reports that he's had a kid, he's waiting to have a kid. It's the Scottie Scheffler thing all over again. We don't really know what's going on with that, but that, there's a possibility that he has a baby on the way here for the tournament, has to withdraw. So I am actually eyeing a bet on him, but I'm not going to make that till I know for sure what's going on with that situation. Anyways, what we saw last year, easy scoring conditions, easy off the tee, easy on approach. You're looking for good ball strikers. Guys can go out there and make some putts this week and hopefully get to like 18 under where we saw the winning score last year. Outrights for me this week, Chris Rayton, 28-1. Brooks Koepka, 30-1. Alex Fitzpatrick, 40-1. We talked about these quick yesterday at the end of the show. Go much more in depth on long shots. That is out now. Myself and Wes Reynolds breaking down this event as well as looking ahead quickly to the U.S. Open next week. And then top 20s. I did play Brooks top 20 and then the Alex Fitzpatrick top 20 price. Again, smaller bets in this market than I would normally have because of the low scores that we're going to see out there. But I really like both those guys this week.
All right. I tried to fake out Will Hill earlier by saying he was next about a half hour ago. He's actually next. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Championship season is here, and Visa Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, we will release our NFL betting guide. Homework, Kelly. Homework.
Let's go.
To attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead, head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You know how I said I promised we'd have Will Hill here? Huh? We're going to wait another second.
No, we did have him.
We did have him. I didn't lie. We get
something happened.
Something. It's that dog Charlie again.
I think Charlie bit the internet.
Yeah. Jason H11 on Twitter. What's Gil's favorite dance at a wedding? I'm guessing you're an electric slide kind of guy. We need video. Let me just preface it by saying I find all wedding dances dumb, whether it's the electric slide, the wobble.
They're all bad, man. I agree with you. They're all
step
bad.
Step in the name of love. Are we allowed to talk about R. Kelly?
No? I like that they are. They're very directional, though, right? Most of them are just like telling white people what to do.
That's
like
correct.
What moves to make. Like, yeah.
Here's the problem also. I mean, let me just say this, though. It occurs to me. It didn't occur to me. It occurred to my buddy Tommy, who's going to be at the wedding, too. Tommy says, you know, Gil, do you know the wedding slams right into NBA Finals game number 5? I'm like, oh, no. And he's right. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to arrive.
Bro, I got you.
I'm going to change. I'm going to go to the wedding. I'm going to go to the reception.
What's on his reception?
And as soon as the electric slides starts,
right.
I'm going to watch the Spurs and the Knicks.
Yeah, you're fine. You'll be fine. Reception's what? Like at 4 or 5, something like that?
Gil, where did you go?
The ceremony. It's like afternoon, I'm going to guess.
The ceremony is before the game.
Yeah, you're fine. Remember, you're East Coast. It's going to start at like 10:45 p.m.
I think your math is slightly off, but I understand your point. Yeah, no, I'm totally watching the game. I'm not doing the slide. Patrick, PK, stay interested in every World Cup match? Yep. He's got a bet. He took at DraftKings, this is 80-1. One goal every match. I got it at 100-1 about a week ago. So in other words, he doesn't want it to be nil-nil after regulation time.
Well, that'll be fun, at least to track.
Yeah. And then Sky High adds, great point about the evolution of sports technology by Kelly. Now, if you want to start a moon landing rabbit hole, search how some people think the astronauts that go to the moon were actually the same three prisoners to escape Alcatraz a few years before. No, stop it, people. Stop it, people. And Paul Morphy, interesting. Home team has lost every game so far in the NBA and NHL finals. Well, no, that's not true, right? NBA, yes. But NHL, that's not the case. He says, only once has a series gone 7 games with the home team losing every game. The 2019 World Series, when the Nationals defeated the Astros. What are the odds we see it now in the NBA Finals? As you know, if you listen to this show long enough, it was your obligation to bet the Nationals to beat the Astros in 2019. But that's right. Every team in that series, 7 games, 7 road victories. Will we see that in the NBA Finals? So far,
no.
We're 3 in. Kelly says no. I think no is it's a huge favorite.
really Will, going out on a limb there.
Will Hill is available to us.
He
joins us now, I believe, courtesy of the telephone, if I'm not mistaken, courtesy of the Progressive telephone line. We have video.
Yeah, I see his bobbling head over there.
Oh, I don't see it.
We got full Will here.
Oh, pardon me, Will Hill, everybody, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. Will joins us now with the visuals. How you doing, man? We got you.
What's going on? Yeah, Charlie Hill, the dog, making his presence known. I believe knocking out the Wi-Fi with his very prominent forehead. Yeah. I think is what happened. So I had to get resituated here, and I'm back now.
Okay,
Charlie. He should be a part of every one of these spots.
He really should be. Love Charlie. How you feeling about your? We talked a little bit about MVP with AL MVP with Paul Sporer a couple segments ago. How you feeling about your Ben Rice ticket?
I feel like I'm somebody who's had 30, 40, 50 to 1, 120 to 1 on lots of good bets in the last year, and none of them really gotten home. So that's how I feel. Look, I mean, I bet something at 150 to 1. It's 3 to 1. You should feel good. I'm in position. He's got a shot, but still a long way to go. But hey, you know how it goes. You make these bets, and you just kind of you hope to get the best of the number, mm-hmm. and you hope for the best. So at 150 to 1, it was worth a shot. You know, some people made fun of me, but I said, look at the data, the baseball savant, just the hard hit rate, the barrel rate, all the kind of nerdy stats. I know you compared it to, I think you and Jason Weingarten talked about Corey Seager way back when.
Yes.
Just, hey, you look at the numbers, it jumps off the page. So I made the bet. I'll live with it. Not life-changing money either way. So it would be nice to get 150 to 1 home. I do think on a daily basis, I didn't bet it today. Bet it yesterday. It lost. Forgot to bet it Monday. Of course, it won. Ben Rice to draw a walk at plus money on these days, I think he's a pretty good bet, just because I think with Judge out, he becomes the guy teams do not want to pitch to. He's got a good eye to begin with. So, you know, Rice is like 8 to 1 most days to draw 2+ walks, 7 to 1 to walk his first at bat if you really want, you know, some bang for your buck. But Rice at plus money to walk in these games, I think is a good bet. So we'll see. I wouldn't bet him at 3 to 1. If I had to bet anything, Kurtz came down to 750. I liked him when he was 11 to 1. Caminero 35 to 1 is not bad. I wouldn't bet Rice at this number, even though, you know, I'm happy with the position I'm in.
By the way, you haven't lived until Ben Rice walks on his first at bat and Will didn't bet it. Just the self-loathing that occurs is just off the charts. All right, you do have a play in the Yankees Guardians game today.
I'll go first 3 under. I don't love the fact that Rodon saw this Cleveland team a week ago. I think it was last Thursday, but he pitched pretty well against them. I like Messick, who's going.
Oh, Charlie.
Above average.
Oh no, you're good. You're good, Will.
I think we're good.
Charlie let you back.
I think we're good. Yeah, I think Charlie stayed out of it. But I like both pitchers. I like the first 3 under here. Rodon Look, he pitched pretty well against Cleveland last time out. No Judge. Get me out. Kind of 1-1 after three innings. That 2.5 is obviously a key number in the first three. So give me the first three under here, Cleveland and New York.
Okay. Keep losing, Guardians. That's all I care about in that one. Dodgers taking on the Pirates. You have a first five bet in this one.
Yeah, I'll go first five under. Ohtani on the mound, and he's one of these guys in the NL that just putting up video game type of numbers. He's been incredible. But Jones going for Pittsburgh. He's kind of a forgotten about guy with Skeens there. He's been hurt, but he's back now. The stuff is really good. He's throwing 100. Great spin on the breaking ball. A lot to like. You could talk me into an under 2.5 in the first three there too, but I'm going to go under 4.5 in the first five. I just think that 4.5 is such a key number. So often that fourth run is the winning run where, you know what, 3-1 after five, 2-2 after five. I expect that to be one of these types of games. Obviously, you know, you have to hold your breath against this Dodgers offense, but I'm going first five under 4.5.
Rubber match between the Phillies and the Blue Jays, a rematch of the World Series from the early 90s. How are you playing this one?
Give me the Phillies team total over 2.5 in the first five. Scherzer going. I think Scherzer at this point is basically pitched for half of the minor league teams across America. He makes more rehab starts than major league starts. But hey, Father Time gets everyone. He's throwing the ball 90, 91 miles an hour. Last time we saw him a month or so ago, the ball was leaving the ballpark left and right. Didn't strike anybody out. Maybe he's a little better now coming off the injury, but him pitching against this Phillies lineup, a lot of lefties. I think Philly is able to get to him for a few, probably hits a couple out of the ballpark. And you know, you go through this now, Gil, with all these markets, you get a pitcher you want to bet against. There's so many ways to attack it. Do I just bet the Phillies to win the game? Do I bet the Phillies, first five, the first five team total, Scherzer under K's, Scherzer over on runs? You can kind of twist yourself into a pretzel with all the different markets available when you want to fade a certain pitcher. But I'll just go, I think the cleanest route is to just go Phillies first five team total over.
Mariners starting in late, too late of May, I should point out, for our Mariners bet to manifest. But they've been playing really good baseball. They've built themselves a three-game lead now in the AL West over the Rangers. They've taken the first two at Camden Yards. Two more to go, including tonight. Mariners are a slight favorite. You think the Mariners continue their role?
Yeah, I do. I just think this is a mismatch here between Young and Kirby. Kirby's really good. Young is really mediocre. I think better bullpen here with Seattle. Lineup's kind of a wash, maybe, in a major starting pitching advantage and a pretty cheap price. I mean, anywhere you shop with dime lines, you can get $1.10. The ones with more juice, the 20-cent lines, even $1.20, I think is very playable here. So I will go Seattle on the money lines.
Now, Will didn't give me permission to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up because I think for all of our guests, and Will is such a VSiN staple, should have bet more podcast host, that people are always wanting to sort of get a better insight into Will Hill, the man.
Sure.
Right?
I know I am.
Will is coaching his son's baseball team. His little league team. Would you like to share with people how that went for you yesterday?
Won the championship last night. I got a little scolding from the umpire. All I said, and I try to be respectful, all this stuff.
Sure.
When balls in the dirt are being called as strikes, and then we weren't getting the calls, all I said is both ways. He stopped the game. He scolded me. But we were able to, in the end, be victorious. It was a very sweet feeling. I mean, really. And I see why these coaches get addicted because, just getting the most out of your players, sticking up for your players, all of the things of coaching. I get why these guys grind away making very little money. There is something very satisfying about coaching. But, yeah, a little run-in with the umpires, a little issue with balls and strikes. Hey, if it wasn't me, my wife was going to be right behind me because she had an issue with the umpire too. But all's well that ends well here.
Well,
I just want the Hills to adopt me. Sounds like the most fun family.
One, congratulations to the Hill family. And most, this is my biggest question. How old was the umpire? Please tell me this was like a 17-year-old like high schooler that you were yelling at.
Oh, no, he's probably pushing 30s, probably close to 30. Okay. Rough, okay. Worst zone we've had all year. It was a rough zone.
Will shouted both ways at him. What did he say back to you? He goes, enough. What'd he say?
We're not going to do this, I think is what he said. Enough, we're not going to do this.
I love that. More with Will on the other side. NBA and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Carolina Hurricanes made a change in goal yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anderson out. Rod Brindamore is going to have to make a decision for game five if he continues with Bussy in goal. I wonder if the Vegas Golden Knights
Bum, bum, bum.
And John Tortorella are thinking about the same. Carter Hart right now, third period, last three games combined, VGK outscored 9-1. Yeesh.
It's not a great strategy to win games, Gil.
It really
you don't want to give up that many goals in the third period.
We get tweets beat the book. Spence CC. Gil, I will also be in North Carolina, although for a show, but we'll be looking for a good spot to watch the game myself afterwards.
What kind of show?
J-Rad? What is that? J-Rad.
I don't know.
Matt, Warrior 013. Since we aren't getting lunch. Oh, sorry about that, Matt.
God.
I was just in a rush. Here's a bad beat.
You blew him off.
Here's Bill. A bad. Jeez. I'm not blowing him off. I just got to get a wedding. I love you, man.
How could you not find time?
He says, my wife picked our marriage date, and of course it fell on a Final Four day when my team was playing, UCLA 2008, and my buddy was hand signaling the scores. We lost. Grumpy honeymoon, but at least we were at Key West. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, nice.
Bill Hooker.
UCLA Florida that year?
Bill Hooker. UCLA Florida. Yeah, Florida. Was that the year Florida crushed them?
I believe so.
One of those games was like over at halftime. Bill Hooker. One big difference in where I grew up in North Carolina and Northern Virginia, where I live now, is in North Carolina, there's a lot of locally owned mom and pop restaurants offering great food at a good price. Actually, compared to here, a really, really, really good price. Yeah. Northern Virginia ain't North Carolina. This is the thing about D.C. and the DMV. We're below the Mason-Dixon line, but we're not truly the South. You have to get to Richmond before we consider the South. Will Hill, kind enough to join us for a second segment. You can follow him on Twitter at not the Will Hill. That's two E's on the V. And we should point out once again, he is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, which we flashed up on the screen. Maybe we'll do it again. You can scan the QR code. You can download and subscribe. Who's the latest guest on the Shoulda Bet More podcast?
Oh, you're sitting next to him. You're sitting next to him. Big get by me, Kelly Bidlin, talking to NBA Finals.
Wow.
That's right.
And didn't you have Jeff Parlay on earlier this week? Yes? No?
Jeff Parles was on. I don't know if you're going to protest the Shoulda Bet More podcast or refuse to advertise it going forward. And he did quickly amend it, but he said Yordan Alvarez putting up Barry Bond-esque numbers. Then he quickly said, well, Barry Bonds, but the Pirates, not the Giants. I know. I don't want to shut down the network or anything, but he did use the name Barry Lamar Bonds. Did someone say Barry Lamar Bonds?
Parles in charge.
Do you know what that reference is? Nah. Anytime any of them annoys me on the group chat or anybody brings up Barry Lamar, I just inundate them with ridiculous Barry Bonds. Did someone say Barry Lamar Bonds?
By the way, before Will corrects me, because Will's like the master at this stuff. Yeah. 2008, I was a year off. 2007 was UCLA, Florida. 2008, UCLA lost to Memphis in the Final Four.
But Florida back
also got hammered.
Florida back to back, which was the one that was just the extreme blowout.
Oh, I think it was 07.
I think it was 07, yeah. Okay, let's go to the NFL for a second here, Will, because you actually have a bet, which I find interesting here in June, on Coach of the Year.
Ooh.
What do you got?
Yeah, I wrote this up for Fox Sports. I took a shot at Sean McVay 40-1. I understand this is not the prototypical Cleve TA, fit the guidelines of the overachieving team, the overachieving coach that wins this award. I acknowledge that. But you're getting paid 40-1 because that's not the case. And while that's usually who wins this award, the overachieving team, the overachieving coach, there's also another path, and that's just dominance. The Ravens in 2019, 14-2, Harbaugh wins the award. Belichick, 2007, goes undefeated. He wins the award. I'm sure there's other examples along the way. So you can win this with dominance. Maybe there's just not that surprise team, that out of nowhere team. There usually is, but maybe there's not. And maybe there's is there a path here where the Rams are just so good and they go 15-2 or 16-1 and people say, you know what, let's not overthink this. McVay's the best coach. There's not really that sleeper team. At 40-1, I'm willing to take a shot. Instead of getting the plus 550, if you think this team is just that much better than everybody else, touchdown better than all these teams. I know Drew Dinsick's very high on him, other people. Maybe that's the way to play it. And also, there's a scenario here where Stafford, 38, 39, approaching 40 years old. What if he misses 3 or 4 games and McVay can go 3-1 with a backup quarterback? And then people say, oh man, this guy can win with everybody. He's a great coach. So I think there's multiple ways to win this. Again, I know it's not the prototypical way when you got a team with this high of expectations. Their coach usually doesn't get the glamour when they have a good season. But I think there's a path, and if they're just that dominant, and maybe they will be, I think McVay at 40-1 is enough for me to take a nibble. I wouldn't bet at 15, 20-1, maybe even 25-1, but at 40, I think it's worth a shot.
You know, it's interesting. I go through the Coach of the Year odds here. We can go through them. I have to remind myself who's coaching who with all the turnover. John Harbaugh.
Me too. I did the same thing.
John Harbaugh, 6-1, obviously of the Los Angeles Chargers. Jesse Minter of the Baltimore Ravens, correct, is at 8-1. Robert Sala, Tennessee Titans, yes, 10-1. Kellen Moore of the Saints, 12-1. Todd Monken of the Browns, 14-1. Joe Brady of the Bills, 14-1. Mike McCarthy of the Steelers, 16-1. And there's Kevin Stefanski of the Atlanta Falcons, right? 18-1. Jeez. You had to take a beat to sort of align with all of these.
What does Joe Brady have to do to win this award? Like, he got to teach Josh Allen how to fly or something like that?
Well, so that's a great point. So Sean McDermott was the guy. They would never, ever have given him the award.
Yeah.
Right? As we sort of figured out through the years. Why would they give it to Joe Brady?
The offensive mind, Joe Brady, takes over the role. Like, he's not going to get any credit. It's going to be all Josh Allen.
Any other awards in the NFL that you've sort of delved into or no bets yet in anything else?
No other bets, but it's funny you mentioned having to take a beat to figure out who coaches what team, because I was thinking too, I was like, oh, who else would be live here? And I go, who's the Falcons coach? And I did that thing where, I don't know if you've ever done this, I refuse to let myself look. I'm not going to cheat. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through name by name, and I know who's not the Falcons coach. And then I eventually go, oh, yeah, right. It's Stefanski, which I'm pretty sure it is. I never even looked it up. But you have to do this thing where there was such a musical chairs aspect of these coaches. And we're betting all these sports between these coaching hires, and now there's, you know, we're betting baseball, you're betting tennis, we're doing NBA, where it just, you almost need a refresher here, which is why the VSiN football pro football betting guide is such a helpful tool, Gilly, to help you with your preparation.
You see what he just did there?
What a pro.
Wow. That was smooth.
You should have your own podcast.
Yeah. You should call it Should Have Been More. The thing about that's very true what you said, because think about how locked in we are during football season, right? There's no football detail that eludes us in the NFL. And to sit here in June and have to if this is actually the National Football League, we have no problems with this, right? But for the NFL, for us to have to Jesse Minter was who again? Right, that kind of thing. Whereas in baseball, if I said to you right now, 30 MLB teams, Will, tell me how many managers you could name. What's the number now?
I'd probably get half, maybe a little bit more, where when I was 8 years old, 10 years old, 14 years old, I'd probably go 30 for 30 without thinking too much. I don't know why that is. It's just these guys get rotated in and out more. They're just, they're more, it's more of a nameless, faceless position, but it's such a good point here where I'd probably get more than half of them, but man, it's just, they're just not as prominent as they used to be for whatever reason.
I may get to half, maybe. Okay, NBA Finals, game number 4 tonight at Madison Square Garden. Any play in this game tonight for you?
I'll go Knicks. I wish I had more conviction. I think the thing I have the most conviction on, I got a feeling these teams split the next two and we're headed for game 6. I don't think the Knicks are going to win these next two and win it in 5, win a third straight in San Antonio. Man, it's asking a lot for the Spurs to beat this team 3 in a row and be up 3-2. I think we'll split. I'll say home court starts to matter at some point. Knicks win tonight. Spurs win game 5 and it sets up to dramatic game 6. And you know, one of the tweeters brought up the 2019 World Series. A few months prior to that, the 2019 finals, the Raptors won game 1 at home. The road team won the final 5 games. And then you turn around in the World Series a few months later and the road team wins all these games. It's just a very unusual series, Gil, where home court doesn't matter and leads don't matter. The other night, Spurs were up 12 in the first quarter. I know. Yeah. Our buddy Steve Fezzik had Spurs first half and he was fuming. Never again, which is one of my favorite texts from Fez.
Never again.
They're up 12 in the first half and then they're down 7 at halftime. And then they wipe that lead away. The Spurs are up 14, middle of the third quarter, game 1. Lose the lead, get the lead. Down 14, game 2. They're leading and they're changing. So no leads are safe. Home court doesn't matter. I feel like I've lost a little bit of a feel for this series. The one thing I will mention, The ticket price is being so expensive. We all talked about this Madison Square Garden crowd being so prominent, such a factor. With tickets being so expensive, are they hurting their home court? Because are the Eli Mannings, Derek Jeters, these politicians, are they going to scream their head off for the Knicks like a guy who's been a 30-year Knicks fan would be? I wonder if that's hurting their home court a little bit. I don't know if that's a point that's been brought up a lot, but it's something I thought of. But I'll say the Knicks get it done tonight, Spurs winning game 5, and then we set up a dramatic game 6. But it's hard to feel good about anything here. It feels like these games are all toss-ups. You brought up that point with the NHL where it just feels like every game is a toss-up and it's hard to handicap. I kind of feel that way here with the NBA.
Yeah. And that point you make about the leads, I think, is sort of the most underrated. The easiest point to make that is probably emphasized the least, which is Spurs have had double-digit leads in all of these games. I don't know, some of them have been early. But the notion that they couldn't hold on to any of them, right, is just sort of this thing where it's like, is that a sustainable thing? Or when they get there the next time, will they actually do that? Will, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Coming back, Toddy Wishnev.